The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 21st chapter. Jesus said to the people, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that we may get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do with those tenants? They said to him, 'He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time.' Jesus said to them, 'Have you not read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls.' When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet." The Gospel of the Lord. So I want to talk briefly this morning about my childhood, about what it was like growing up to be a Bowser. I was born into a Lutheran family. I was going to church every Sunday from the moment that I came home from the hospital. And so by the time I was in first grade, I was the kid who got in trouble for humming the Lutheran liturgy in silent reading time. And by the time I was 8 years old, I was reminding my older brothers and siblings that we're supposed to pray before we do our dinner time. And by the time I was 10 years old, I was the kid with, you know, the record for the best attendance in Sunday school. And by the time I was in confirmation, I was the kid who did all the sermon notes, answered all the questions, and then reminded the pastor that he forgot to give us our next assignment before the end of class. Now, some might say that this made me a really great student in confirmation and in my life in general, and others might have had another word for it that I dare not speak aloud at this particular time. But in either sense, this is what it was like for me growing up. And by the time I got to high school, I was pretty well convinced that I had everything I needed to save myself. And I was doing all the right things. I was going to church, I was going to confirmation. In general, I was a good person. I was doing all the right things so that I could save myself. In my freshman year of high school, I met a friend named Todd. And Todd was a college volunteer who was working with a youth ministry program that I was going to on a pretty regular basis. And Todd, devout Catholic that he was, talked about Jesus in a very different way than I had ever heard before. And after about a year of us hanging out and getting to know one another and being a part of this ministry, I heard Todd talking about sin and about the brokenness of humanity, and the words that he spoke still stick with me to this day. He said, "There is nothing that we can do to repair the gap between us and God. There is nothing we can do to repair that gap." And suddenly, in that moment, it hit me that everything I'd been doing up to that point, going to church, going to confirmation, getting perfect attendance, it could never save me. It was good in its own right. It did a lot to build me and to create me into who I was, but it could never save me. And in that moment, I started realizing that I needed to reject this path that said I could do something to earn my salvation. And I began to find faith. And faith is what we want to talk about today. Sola fide, right? Faith alone. You might remember that last week we talked about Christ alone, that it is only by the authority of Christ that we live. No other authority on earth or throughout the world has a call on our lives, only the authority of Christ. And when we live first and foremost under the authority of Christ, we begin to realize what it means for us to live by faith alone. Now let me back up and explain what I mean here. See, it really all comes down to the cornerstone. That's where it starts. Now, I'm not a master stonemason. I'm hoping that no one here is a master stonemason. But here's what I know about building things with a cornerstone, right? The cornerstone has to be perfect. The master stonemason has to inspect this cornerstone to make sure it doesn't have a blemish, that the angles are just exactly the way they want it to be, because any flaw in the cornerstone will be multiplied out as the wall is built. And so we can think about it this way in my very sophisticated geometric shapes here, right? If we're trying to build a straight wall, right? You're with me so far. If we're trying to build a straight wall, if that first stone that we lay is even slightly off, you might not even be able to tell that's not a perfect square. But if it's even slightly off, it gets multiplied out all the way down the wall until you are feet away from where you're supposed to be. The slightest imperfection in that cornerstone is multiplied out time and time again as you build the rest of the wall. So when Jesus talks to us and quotes the 100th and 118th Psalm saying the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, when Jesus quotes this to us, he's reminding us that the stone was not rejected because it was too perfect. It wasn't even rejected out of spite. It was rejected because it didn't fit the builder's expectations. The builders had a vision of what was supposed to be happening. They had an expectation of what the cornerstone was supposed to look like. And when the stone doesn't meet that expectation, the stone is rejected. Now, traditionally, we hear this story and we think about Jesus as the cornerstone, right? And when we are thinking about building the church, right, the entire body of Christ across time and space, when that's the thing that we are trying to build, then thinking of Jesus as the cornerstone is absolutely what we want to be talking about. Jesus is the cornerstone of our church. He's the angle that we want to build our wall off of. It's a beautiful image that we love to be able to hold on to. But what if, just for a moment, we wanted to build something other than the church? What if we wanted to build our own righteousness? What if we wanted to build a way for us to bridge the gap between us and God? We would need a very different set of blueprints altogether at that point, because this is exactly what I was trying to do as an elementary, middle school, high school. I didn't have the words, perhaps, to describe it that way, but by trying to go to Sunday school, by trying to go to confirmation and do the right thing and be a good person, I was trying to build my own righteousness, to make myself right before God. It's the same thing that Paul is doing for us in his letter to the Philippians, as he lists out all these reasons that he has to be confident in the flesh. The same thing that Martin Luther was trying to do when he found himself in the monastery and fasting for 40 days at a time and confessing constantly all of the sins that he could count, trying to find a way to make ourselves right with God. And all three of us, Martin Luther, Paul, and myself, in our attempts to build this righteousness, chose a cornerstone. And we chose the cornerstone of the law. We decided that by doing certain things, upholding certain standards, we could build our righteousness. Because the law met our expectations. We expected that we had to do the right thing. There are certain things that was clear. There was a right and there was a wrong. There was a place that we were supposed to go. There was a thing that we were supposed to give to. There was a stance that we were supposed to take. We understood that this would build the building that we wanted. The law would build our righteousness. We came to this conclusion not because we're completely wrong or because we never read the Bible. We came to this because we let something other than Christ have authority in our lives. We come to this conclusion because we let the world claim to have power over us. See, the thing is, all of us do this. We all, whether we're aware of it or not, we all judge ourselves and one another off of the law. Because we've listened to the voice of the world, and the world has convinced us that one, it has any authority to speak into our lives, and two, that there is a law that we can hold one another to that will somehow bridge the gap between us and God. We've believed into these lies that the world continues to try to tell us. And we find that as we build this building, we end up miles away from where we intended the wall to go. We should have been looking for a different cornerstone. Paul, Martin Luther, myself, we all chose this cornerstone of the law and rejected the true cornerstone of faith. That when we're trying to build our righteousness, we're trying to make ourselves right with God, faith is the cornerstone on which God calls us to build. Faith is the cornerstone on which our lives are intended to be structured, on which we judge one another, on which God judges us. It all comes down to faith. See, Paul could have claimed righteousness by the law, as he listed out all the different ways in which he had reasons to be confident in the flesh. He could have claimed righteousness by the law, but he rejects it. Martin Luther stood before the emperor, and all he had to do to be righteous in the sight of the law was recant his writings. And he rejects it. I had every reason as a high schooler and as a middle schooler to believe that I could make myself righteous. And I had to learn, I had to be shown how to reject that. We all do this. Lutherans do it, Catholics do it, Methodists and Baptists do it, Democrats and Republicans do it, rich and poor do it. We all judge one another based off of the law. We hold one another to a standard thinking that it will accomplish what we want, because at its core, the law seems like it will help us be a good person. And being a good person looks really, really close to what God wants for us. But that angle is off just ever so slightly and gets multiplied out as we build up our wall, trying to build our own righteousness on this wall of becoming a good person, of following the law, and suddenly we find ourselves miles away from the plan that God had for us. Because the fact of the matter is, we can build a structure on the law, but it will never get us where we want to go. It will never be able to bridge the gap between us and God. The cornerstone of our righteousness, the cornerstone of that structure that makes us right with God, is our faith. That's what it will always come down to. It's the cornerstone that changed Paul when he walked on the Damascus Road. It's the cornerstone that changed Luther as he taught Scripture in the university in Wittenberg. It's the cornerstone that changes each and every one of us as we're washed in the waters of our own baptisms. It's the cornerstone that we're given so that we can remember, as Paul wrote, that we may be found in him, not having a righteousness of our own that comes from the law, but a righteousness that comes from faith in Christ Jesus. On the cornerstone of faith alone we stand. We can do no other. God loves each of you, and I do too.